Did you know, according to a report entitled Children, Violence, and the Media, a report for parents and policymakers that was published a few years ago, the average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on television by the age of 18. And it isn't just violence. According to an article published by the Kaiser Family Foundation entitled Sex on TV, the numbers of sex scenes on TV has nearly doubled since 1998, with 70% of the top 20 most watched shows by teens including sexual content. For many years, television was the primary battleground when it came to being concerned about what entered your home, but you and I know that the problem has expanded beyond television. The problem now extends to the internet. According to an article entitled, Is the Internet Hurting Our Children?, written for CNN, by the time children are 2 years old, more than 90% of all American children have an online history. At five, more than 50% regularly interact with a computer or tablet device. And by seven or eight, many kids regularly play video games. Now, these various forms of media in themselves aren't necessarily bad, but the exposure to the potential possibilities has increased. And it isn't just our children that are being exposed to the realities of this world. The integration of technology into all facets of our lives means that you and I are spending more and more time on social networking sites, YouTube, and many other forms of content. Now, for many people, you could probably say most people, the internet has become part of their everyday experience. And I want you to understand that I am no way condemning the internet. I'm not condemning watching television. The internet, television, books, radio, and perhaps other forms of media that are out there all share different kinds of content. You can find sermons, instructional videos, and many other positive things on the internet. Television contains religious and educational programming and other things that are uplifting. Good content can be found in books and on the radio. But you and I need to be intentional about what we will see, what we will watch, and what we will listen to. And we need to be intentional about what will build us up spiritually and morally, because according to the Word of God, time is short. You see, we live at the very end of time. I know that evangelists are prone to say things like, we're living in the toenails or the edge of the toes of the multi-metal man in Daniel chapter 2. But whatever you want to say, we're living at the very end of time. We're living at the cusp of a new reality. And because of that, we have got to make decisions that previous generations never even thought of. We don't have as much time as previous generations to develop a righteous character. Now more than ever, we live in a world where we are exposed to violence, impurity, and every other form of immorality. We need to be thinking about good things. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. It is getting harder and harder to think about what is good in this world. It's like a fish trying to swim up the stream, isn't it? If you ever have an opportunity to see a fish swimming up the stream, and interestingly, I've never had the opportunity to see a fish really swimming up the stream except on television. But I've seen on television bass and salmon and other fish swimming upstream and bucking the tide. And in order for them to do that, they have to be alive and they have to be intentional about what they're doing. You and I need to be the same. We need to be more intentional. Evil is more out in the open than it used to be. I'd like to point you to a verse in the Bible that I believe illustrates how evil has progressed. And this is true of all time, but it is especially true for our time. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, and verse 1. I love this chapter. I think it's beautifully written. And I believe that David has a lot to say to us. In the first chapter of Psalms, beginning of the first verse, David says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." In this passage, we see a progression of sin to avoid. The man that avoids this progression is said to be, by David, blessed. And I know that you and I want to be blessed. Notice that David says first that we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking in the Bible is synonymous with your actions, with what you choose to do every day. In fact, the Jewish people called their relationship with God their halakha. It means their walk. So they wanted to make sure that their walk was such that they were following the principles of God. When you and I make decisions every day, when we choose to do certain things, we are walking a certain way. The next thing that David says is to avoid standing in the path of sinners. When we stand for something, we are taking a position. And if we stand in the path of sinners, we have begun to advocate evil positions. Something that I know that none of us want to do. Sitting in the seat of the scornful refers to judging people and saying that they are doing evil. An example of this is in the Bible when Jesus talks about those that sat in the seat of Moses. In Jesus' day, the high priest, Caiaphas, sat in the seat of Moses. He would sit there, and when problems were brought to him and the rest of the elders of the Sanhedrin, they would judge what is right and wrong. So when we sit, we judge. And if you sit in the seat of the scornful, you're judging others and making it clear that you believe what is evil is good. The progression of evil that David outlines is evident, I believe, very much in our society. Our culture today has progressed along the way that leads to destruction. Years ago, the majority of Americans did not believe in alternative lifestyles. Divorces were not nearly as common, and children were protected no matter how old they were. I believe that this time period, when the majority of Americans held these positions, corresponds to the first admonition of David to avoid walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we often like to think that the cultural creep, as it is outside of the church. But what we realize more and more is that it creeps into the church, doesn't it? We have to be diligent. And unfortunately, society did not stay in a moral position. Over time, society has begun to entertain acceptance of alternative lifestyles and ungodly practices. And I believe that this development corresponds to David's instruction to avoid standing in the path of sinners. I now believe that we are approaching the final development of sin in our culture that David calls sitting in the seat of the scornful. The government has legalized unlawful divorces, abortion, civil unions, and homosexual marriages, as well as many states, illicit drugs. And now members of the government, along with advocacy groups, are creating legislation to bring criminal charges against people or organizations that try and take a stand for biblical truth. I want to give you an example of this to help you realize, as you probably already do, but to help underscore the point that this is happening right now. According to Reuters, an often used news organization, a New Mexico event photographer's refusal on religious grounds to shoot the commitment ceremony of a same-sex couple amounted to illegal discrimination. The state's highest court ruled on Thursday, August 22nd, just a few short weeks ago. There are many other examples like this. If you read the news headlines, if you even glance at the articles from time to time, you realize that this is the direction of our country. And what it tells me, and what I believe it should tell you, is that you and I need to be intentionally thinking about truth and goodness, or we will follow the same path as our culture. You and I need to be intentionally thinking about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, or we too will find ourselves sitting in the seat of the scornful. Through inspiration, Ellen White wrote in the book of Desire of Ages, page 83, what we should be spending our time thinking about. She said it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon His great sacrifice for us, our confidence in Him will be more constant, our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with His Spirit. If we should be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. I think all of us realize that there are things that vie for our time and our thoughts. We have to think about our families. We have to think about finances. We have to think about the things that are put before us. But we need to be thinking about Jesus. We need to be contemplating the great sacrifice that He made for us, because it is only when we contemplate the sacrifice of Christ that we have strength to live like Christ did. Let's think about what is true, honest, and just. Today I'm asking you to be intentional. Choose what is good, seek out what is right. Today is communion. And it is not only an opportunity for you to rededicate your heart to God, but also your thoughts. So often, our thoughts are filled with things that aren't good because we have allowed the portals of our mind to be exposed to things that lead us along wrong paths, to the point where we begin to identify with the sinful world. We need to commit to thinking about what is good. Please take the next few moments over the remaining part of the service as we go into the ordinance of humility, which, by the way, will be in the rear of the church, a room for the ladies and the gentlemen. Please take those moments to not only rededicate your life, but to be willing to allow God to come in and cleanse your thoughts. This is an opportunity for us. If we can take these moments to focus on what is good, to reorient ourselves around what is right, then I believe that God will be able to build us up and prepare us for His kingdom that I believe is soon coming. The decisions that we make are cumulative. The time that we spend with God is something that we need to do each and every day, daily converted to His cause. And today you have an opportunity again. And so I'd like to just pray with you. And upon the conclusion of our prayer, I'd like to invite you to participate in the ordinance of humility. And then remind you that if you have been baptized, if you have come into the church, we have an open communion. We want you to participate because we want you to have an opportunity to be rededicated to the Lord. And so I just ask you to bow your heads with me as we seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want your Holy Spirit to be with us. We know that you have promised it. We know that you want to be close. We know that you have forgiven us, and we need to only accept the forgiveness that you have given us. But help us not to allow the obstacles in our lives to prevent the transmission of your grace. Help us to focus on what is true and good. Help us to focus on Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen.